Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie that we barely remember, and then watch it, and then talk about it again.
Yeah.
My name is Dan. To my right is another Dan.
Yes, hello.
Across from me.
Molly.
Call it 12 o'clock.
Oh, that's Trump.
Yeah, okay,
that's
Trump.
If I'm the sixth.
Center of the earth.
Yeah. Six.
I'm on a clock. I'm six. Right?
Why did you put yourself at six?
Because then I'm looking up.
Okay.
Sure.
Positive thinking.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then Beth, who's that?
That's... Beth is at nine.
Yep. Yes.
9 o'clock.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think they're still teaching analog clocks in school?
Great question.
I mean, they have to, right?
Why?
Because then there's a bunch of dumb kids that don't understand.
There's already dumb kids, Beth. Yeah. The education system in this country.
All right.
I bet the education system was much better when Batman Forever came out.
Molly
Chase with the segue.
That's the film we're watching today.
I don't know which one it is.
Batman Forever. Oh, it's the third in the...
Oh, really?
Tim Burton, but it's not Tim Burton.
It's not Tim Burton. This is the first non-Burton Batman film.
But it's not a reboot, right? It didn't feel like a reboot.
No.
It was like in the franchise.
Idea for this one was, like, it's still the same people, guys,
but no one's the same, right?
Incorrect.
Oh, the butler.
The secondary characters, many of them are the same.
Oh.
The Batman. No longer the right Batman.
So just to be clear, the way I track Batmans is by who plays Batman.
Yeah. Yes, I feel like most people do.
Yeah.
I'm 80% sure this is Val Kilmer.
Oh, you didn't tell me.
Am I right?
I forgot Val Kilmer was a Batman. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Val Kilmer was an actor.
I forgot about Val Kilmer.
Uh-huh.
Dre. I was almost positive it was George Clooney. But was he the first? Like, the first two?
That's
fourth.
Batman fourth. And Robin.
So who was the first one?
Michael Keaton.
He was the best one. He was
one and two.
One and two.
Oh, really? I thought he was just the one.
No.
Oh. All right. So Batman Forever, third film.
Ironically, Batman Forever was a new Batman.
Yeah.
Thus, immediately negating the title of the movie.
Also, I feel like they really missed an opportunity to have Batman Forever be the fourth one.
Forever.
And like a Fast and the Furious naming convention.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe the idea was because they knew it was like a new Batman, they were like, oh, people are going to riot in the streets.
Right.
So if we say Batman Forever, people think like, oh, well, if they're going to keep making these movies, I guess I should get on board.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
I got to get on board eventually.
If they're just going to keep going, forever. It's forever.
Might as well. Also, different director, I'm pretty sure.
Correct.
No more Tim Burton.
No Timmy Burts.
Maybe Jerry Bruckheimer?
Joel Schumacher. Yep.
That sounds good.
Yep. No, it's not good. He's a terrible, terrible director.
What else has he done? I can't name another.
He did the fourth Batman movie.
Oh, okay.
Which is indicative.
Which
is what? Batman and Robin.
Starring George Clooney.
George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell.
Chris McDonald.
Kristen
McDonald.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
And Clueless.
So then the villain in this one is Poison Ivy?
Nope, that's the fourth one.
Still the fourth one.
I think we should just watch the fourth one.
Up until very recently, I thought this was the one with George Clooney.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Maybe. And Arnold Schwarzenegger played Mr. Freeze.
Yep.
Also Batman.
All in the fourth one.
Okay.
What?
Both of you think this is the fourth one.
Yeah. I totally thought this was the fourth one.
Wow.
That's great.
But
we all agreed that we had seen this movie. Now that you know it's not Batman and Robin, do you still think you've seen this movie?
I know I have seen this movie because I have a very distinct memory watching this movie. I went to the theater with my brother and my dad.
Okay.
My brother was really little. I'm going to guess... three.
Oh.
Wow.
And he started crying.
Yeah.
And then we had to leave the theater.
Oh.
And I was so mad.
So you saw part of it.
So I saw, I eventually saw the rest of it.
Okay.
But I saw the first 5 minutes in theaters.
Oh, you started
it only took
right
5 minutes?
Yeah,
there's probably an opening scene with crime.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to guess.
Terrifying.
A lot of like loud explosion noises.
Yeah.
Because that's what I remember.
Yeah.
Right.
I loved it.
The two villains are Two-Face,
yep.
Tommy Lee Jones.
Correct.
And the Riddler with Jim Carrey.
James Carrey. Comedian James Carrey.
From In Living Color.
From In Living Color and Ace
Ventura.
Ventura.
Pet detective.
Pet detective.
When nature calls.
Correct. yeah, it's, the main thing I remember about that movie is, like, Jim Carrey, at the beginning, you're kind of like, oh, wow, he's actually acting. And, you know, because everyone thought, like, oh, he's just going to be, like, his In Living Color characters, yeah, except with question marks.
But, he's going to be a fire marshal Bill.
But at the beginning, yeah, at the beginning, like, I remember thinking, like, oh, he's actually kind of playing a character, like a regular person. And then, like, as he becomes the Riddler, you know, to show that he's gone crazy, he becomes more and more of an In Living Color character, sure, with question marks.
Yeah. I remember this being really polished, like real, like cartoony almost.
Yeah,
yeah, I think super cartoony.
This one was like the transitional one into the fourth, because the fourth one is bonkers.
Yeah.
Like the fourth one is completely insane, constantly going for laughs, and like neon everywhere.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was only like part neon, some laughs, some bonkers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So is the penguin in this
movie? No, that's the second one, Molly. You're going to hate this movie. You think it's every other Batman movie.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey has red hair in this movie.
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. Orangish, reddish,
like orange-ish,
right?
Red. Yeah. He's got the Riddler suit. It's green.
It's green. It's like a green unitude. Cane with a question mark.
He has like several costume changes.
It's a unitude, like attitude and...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one attitude.
Unitude's a real word. This is the second time people have called me out for using unitude. Yeah.
What is it?
It's like a unitard.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I think they're the same.
Well, then why is there another name?
You don't have to get a unitude about it.
Boom.
Boom. Okay, help me out. Is there a vat of acid in this one?
I believe that is the very first question.
Damn. Yeah.
And it might be again.
Well, hold on.
A vat of acid in every single Batman.
That's actually a very good point.
Yeah.
That is an excellent point.
Like, even the new, like, the Nolan ones.
There could be probably some acid in there. Yeah, there's got to be some, right? Like, maybe just in the background.
Yeah, if it's just, like, set dressing. Yeah.
Like, the Warner Brothers Studios went to Chris Nolan. It's like, listen, you can do whatever you want, but we have to have acid, at least in the film. The fans demand it.
It's not a Batman
fans
film.
Fans love it.
There is acid involved, Molly.
Okay.
Because that is how Two-Face becomes Two-Faced.
Oh, I did see this.
Okay, good.
Are you sure you're not thinking
premise of podcast
the first successful Nolan one?
Is there a parade in this one where bad things get dropped?
What?
Gasp to a Prince song?
Yeah, are you talking...
Oh, wait,
still
Bat Dance? Okay.
That's still
there's no Bat Dance in this? Wait, no. is this Kiss from a Rose?
Yes, it is.
Seal?
Yes.
You're going to hear some Seal in this?
Yes.
All right.
What is this, Kiss from a Rose?
Hell yeah.
Oh, I thought the first one was Kiss from
a
Rose.
No, the first one was all Prince. You think Prince was going to let Seal just come in and have an incredible hit like Kiss from a Rose on
the
same
one
soundtrack?
Where they fight on top and there's a bell?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Or a clock. It's either a bell or a clock. And I
feel
just
like
mean that's
still
every
the
movie.
First one. Because
anytime...
then he knocks Joker off the building. That's
yeah.
The first one.
Yeah.
Anytime I think of that song, I think of snow, which might be the music video, but is there snow involved? Is it wintertime?
Oh, is it acid snow?
Maybe. I feel like the second one was wintertime.
Second one definitely.
Definitely wintertime. Because
of
the penguin.
Zero about the plot.
Of this one?
Yeah. I believe the one scene I remember is that they're climbing a mountain fortress.
Yeah.
And Two-Face and the Riddler teamed up.
Yes.
And they both just jump around and giggle a lot.
Yeah, they're like goofballs. Yeah.
They're big-time goofballs.
Big-time goofs.
Two-Face has got like a black and white suit.
No, he has.
Different
colors. Yeah, it's like crazy pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
One is a regular suit and one is like a bunch of like... weird animal prints turned into a suit.
Yeah, his like melted face all crazy.
Right.
And his face is like maroon colored. Like, I just remember seeing that compared to the Nolan version of what Two-Face is.
Yeah.
And
spoilers.
It's like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's probably a love interest, right?
Yes.
Veronica Lake?
What?
No, that is a completely different movie. Never mind.
What movie is that? Okay, cool.
I think Roger Rabbit.
What?
That's Jessica
That's
Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit.
I mean, there's another girl. There's a human girl in Roger Rabbit, too.
Is there?
Yeah. Like, his actual, the one she's meant to, the one that Valiant is meant to be with is a human woman. But he's tempted by the cartoon woman. Because that is the best movie ever made.
That movie is pretty good.
No, this one, isn't it like, doesn't the Riddler have some sort of, like, brain... sucking machine or something. Not like physically, but like he like takes brain energy and it like I remember there's a point where he has this like big thing that he sticks to his forehead that's like shooting lasers into his brain.
Oh, yeah.
And it like makes him even more the Riddler or something.
He's super good at riddles then.
Yeah.
He's like, I can trick anyone with my riddles.
Oh, that, this one does have the riddle that I remember enjoying as a kid. How do you fit 5 elephants in a car?
Oh.
Don't spoil it.
Yeah, let's hold that for the second half.
I'm betting that's a riddle in this.
Jaquette's bats.
Jaquette's bats.
He's batting away. Jaquette's bats.
Elephant.
What's
riddle.
He gonna say? Jaquette's bats.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. That's the first one. Also like for the year.
Little hi-hat.
Yeah. Yep. For the year. Oh man, I'm gonna go.
Year was made.
Yeah. The year was released.
Ooh.
90. Mm-hmm. Let's see, 89 was the first Michael Keaton Batman.
I'm gonna go No, it was way after 89.
1989 was the first Michael Keaton Batman.
No, that has to be 92.
You might be thinking of the second one again.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm going 90.
That movie came out the year I was born.
Ugh.
Okay, and yes. I want to mention that that second movie came out the year I went on a date.
Like one date?
Just the one date.
Okay. Your one date in your life?
Yes.
I'm going 95.
Ooh, okay. Jaquette's bats.
I feel like that's a good guess because my brother was young and he was born in 92.
Yeah.
And you said he was probably 3.
Yeah.
Boom.
Oh, math.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Maybe.
Yeah, there's definitely a love interest. I think she's like a psychologist.
Kim Basinger?
No. Wait, maybe.
That was Veronica. Yeah.
Wait, no, wasn't she the first one?
She was.
Wasn't that...
Heidi Nicole Klum? Kidman?
No.
That
Nicole Kidman's in one of them.
Kidman
she's in this one.
One.
No, she... Wait,
it Catwoman. Seems like she'd be in it.
No, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Catwoman's in number 2.
Beth.
Catwoman's 2, yeah, and that's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Nicole Kidman is in this one.
Okay, Nicole Kidman does not play any sort of
she plays,
superhero.
No.
She plays a lady.
She plays a lady who is a doctor of psychology.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Who's probably the doctor for whatever the
Batman?
Riddler's name is.
Oh, the Riddler before he became the Riddler.
Ooh, maybe.
Jim Riddles.
Jim Riddles.
Nope.
Is that a bet?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's Edward.
Scissorhands.
Enigma.
Edward.
Because the
Enigma.
First one, it was Enigma. A reporter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was Kim Basinger.
Yeah,
first
right? Yeah, Vicki Vale.
Vicki Vale.
Oh, not Veronica.
See, guys.
Vicki Vale.
Let's, okay, for the listeners, I am at a slight advantage because I read a shit ton of comic books as a younger adult. So I have a lot of knowledge that was implanted into these movies,
right.
Whether I actually remember them from the movies or not.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I apologize in advance. I hope I haven't disappointed anyone.
That's fine. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I apologize for my lack of knowledge. I will say I
Isn't
have
that
seen...
the point of this
oh, right.
podcast?
Yep. I apologize for Molly apologizing.
I'm really sorry about this whole thing.
Oh. Oh, man. Yeah. Because I've seen it. I didn't see it that... Like, I saw it in the theaters when it came out.
Yeah.
But then I saw it again in college when my roommates and I hated ourselves, apparently, and decided, let's just watch... all 4 of the existing Batman movies in a row.
Yeah. This
in
is,
one day.
There's no reason to watch this Batman movie. If you want to watch a Batman movie that is terrible, you watch Batman and Robin.
Absolutely, because that movie
over
is amazing.
Batman. This one's bad, but not as bad
it's,
as
yeah,
that
it's
one.
Like it's this weird, it is like this weird transition where like they try to kind of make it still seem like it's a Tim Burton movie, because it's like, oh, there's shadows and orchestral swells.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's also scenes where it's like, there's neon everywhere and things are going crazy. Yeah,
the villains are cartoons.
Oh my God, so crazy.
But I don't remember what they're trying to do.
He has some kind of brain laser.
The Riddler, is he going to mind control Gotham?
I don't know.
I'm going with mind control Gotham.
Jaquette's bets.
Mind control Gotham.
I think that's a pretty good guess, because I do remember now, like, some sort of hose mechanism on Batman's head at some point.
Oh, it's on Batman's head.
Maybe?
Well,
yeah.
Eventually.
Is this the one where he has to choose between 2 people and one gets dropped down a tube?
That for sure was Batman and Robin, because it was between Robin and the love interest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's I remember that.
Good point. I feel like that's...
There's got to be a big choice in this one.
Well, there's the choice of heads or tails that the villain Two-Face uses all of the time.
Yeah, that's definitely in there.
Yeah.
Some sort of coin.
It's just a coin.
It's like a silver dollar
two
or something.
Heads.
Okay.
One of them's all one's messed fresh. Up.
Oh.
What's Two-Face's deal? Why is he, A, teaming up with Riddler,
yeah.
B... doing whatever destruction he's doing. See, hates Batman.
I think he blames him For the acid,
right? That's right, because Batman is directly responsible for it.
Or is at least...
But sort of responsible.
I think he was, like, trying to save him and didn't do it or something.
Oh, maybe he was, like, a policeman? Here's my guess.
Okay.
He was a good guy.
Yeah, he was a good guy. Something happened there. Was District Attorney Harvey Dent.
Oh.
Sorry,
guys. Not Harvey Milk. Okay.
No, definitely not Harvey Milk.
My God, that'd be amazing.
That would make this movie way more important.
The Batman Milk crossover.
Really?
Although, that makes Harvey Milk the bad guy.
Yes, and it makes Harvey Milk getting acid in his face.
Or maybe he's the good guy and Batman's the bad guy.
Whoa. Ooh.
That is kind of Batman's thing, right? Is he good or
hating
bad?
Hating homosexual.
I take it back. I don't want to see that movie.
Okay, there we go.
It sounds like
uncomfortable.
It would spur on hate crimes.
Uncomfortable.
I love gays, and I thought the movie Milk was good, and Sean Penn's performance in it was Oscar worthy.
Chiquette's bad, so we put it down.
I bet that I liked Milk.
Well, I still want points for remembering that he had been a good guy.
Yeah,
because sure. I can picture there's some sort of warehouse. There's a vat of acid. I stand by my vat of acid.
You're going acid. You're betting on that acid.
I'm doubling down on
that. I feel like that was just in the first one.
Oh.
There's definitely acid in the first one.
There's a flashback. There's a flashback.
But I will agree with you that Gotham is like, their cup overflows with vats of toxic chemicals, like, all the time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, so it's certainly plenty of barrels of flammables everywhere. I know that.
Well, you got to keep the bums warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure the mayor like subsidizes those flaming barrels.
Okay, there's got to be a cool vehicle. All the Batmans have cool vehicles.
Well, I mean, there's the Batmobile,
but there's the Batwing also in the first one,
right?
Is there like a ridiculous Batboat or something?
Because they have to get to the Riddler's like headquarters, which I feel like is like...
I feel like there might be a bat boat.
Yeah.
I'm going bat boat. This is a stretch, but I think there's a bat boat.
Because I think the Riddler's I think his like laser beam headquarters is on an island.
It's an island, so, not a fortress. Classic supervillain.
Yeah.
Is there a steampunk version of Batman where he has a horse? That would be awesome.
Kind of.
There's like an old medieval times version.
There's also one from like Victorian times, which is pretty steampunk.
That's pretty steampunk.
Let's watch that one.
That's not a movie. It's a comic. Come on.
That'll be a different podcast.
Molly, I feel like you're going into this with a bad attitude.
You already hate this movie.
You already hate this movie because it's not the other three Batman movies you thought it was.
It's not Michael Keaton, first one. It's not your date, Batman.
No. How did the date go?
Yeah,
you know what? Really well, we dated for the summer.
Aww.
Yeah, it was actually a really sweet relationship. But it didn't last.
Oh.
And you were like... 18? 16?
I was 18.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Did you...
summer after high school. That's a big summer.
Yeah,
it's a big summer. That was a great summer, actually.
Did you guys... knowing you and your reaction to somewhat exciting things on film, did Batman Returns turn out to be a good date movie? Because you could, like, be frightened and be held by the days?
Oh, yeah. That's well be... That is just for a first date, touching each other?
I don't know.
So. No, like, scared hand clenching?
I'm saying, like, sorry, you know.
No,
like,
I don't remember any of that movie because I was so nervous about being on the date. I will also say he did the cutest thing when he walked me up to the door. He wrote my phone number on his hand, and I thought that was super
smooth.
Cute.
That's right, yeah, because he's like, he cares, but he also doesn't care.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, this might wash off, whatever.
Doesn't care enough about things to have paper on him.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
He's a bad boy. He's a
bad boy.
Yeah, I definitely remember movie dates being like not focusing on the movie and just like wondering, like, how close can I get my hands on this armrest?
What am I supposed to be doing?
Can I, like, touch? Can we touch pinkies? Is that okay? And then, like, where do we go from there?
Right.
Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah, it worked out.
I never got any movie theater action.
Sure.
It's a big hurdle. It's a big hurdle for an early date, I think.
Yeah.
Or any date, really.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you are willfully becoming a distraction for anyone else in that movie theater.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know?
I don't think I've seen any, like, young kids, teenagers, let's say teenagers, in movie theaters.
We are not 80 years old.
The young people.
Yeah.
Do they
the youth of today.
Do they still go to movie theaters?
I don't know.
Not going to the right
sometimes.
Movies.
I mean, I went to The Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Sure.
Part one. No, just part. Just whole part, right?
Part two. It's all of
It's all fire. Of the, yeah.
Yeah.
And we were there at, like, a time where we were like, oh, empty theater. This is amazing. We can just be a bunch of old farts who don't want to talk to other people. But, like, right as the preview started, a couple of, you know, boisterous young ladies came in with their phones and they're tweeting or whatever. So there are youth that go to the movies.
They're live tweeting the movie?
I don't think so. I think they were actually really good. Like, we were really scared when they walked in. We're like, oh, no. These teens are going to ruin this.
How old are you?
But not scared like they're going to beat up. Like, worried like, oh, we're going to have to be those grumpy adults that have to, like, turn around and shush teens.
Yeah. The last movie I saw was Inside Llewyn Davis at the Second Run movie theater.
Uh-huh.
And there was some old lady doing commentary through the whole thing.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, he's tired now. Oh, that's too bad. Oh, no, watch out. Oh.
Boy.
I was like, oh, geez, lady. So it's not just the youth that can ruin movies.
Sure. No, that's the lesson of today. Today's lesson is it's not
everyone
just...
Everyone can ruin movies, even directors like Joel Schumacher.
Oh, my God.
Nailed it.
Drew Barrymore's in this movie.
What?
Yeah.
Is she the love interest?
No. We already established the love interest. Beth, you're not listening.
Did we? Who
I have headphones.
Oh, yeah.
How can I know?
Audio engineer Beth.
Who's Drew Barrymore?
She's one of Two Faces lady hench ladies.
Hench ladies.
Oh, he's got a couple, right?
Yeah, he's got
one that's good and one that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay,
guys.
Great. This is a great segue into, does this movie pass the Balaclava test?
Bechdel test.
No, I'm going to go no.
I'm going to go big time no.
Big time
well,
no.
Well, not big time no. There's probably two named female characters.
There's definitely two named female characters.
Yeah.
They probably, no, because I don't remember if his hench ladies ever actually talked to each other. They definitely both talk to him
at the same time. Yeah.
I don't know if they ever actually like stop and like, how's your day? How are things going?
And they would have to talk about something that was not him.
Two-Face.
Yeah, so it's going to be either the male villains or Batman.
I'm going straight, like, generic
fail. Complete failure.
Big fail.
Also, I would like to add another dimension based on Gina Davis's thoughtful essay in the Huffington Post.
Check it out.
That
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that so many of the crowd scenes are majority male. I'm very interested to see if that's true, that it's about 20% female,
Gina Davis test?
Yeah, the Gina Davis test.
That will definitely happen, because I believe the movie starts with the kind of scene that would scare a three-year-old, where
explosion.
Two-Face is doing something bad, and there's probably a crowd of gawkers looking and pointing while Batman shows up.
Cool.
Two-Face is already bad? This is not a Two-Face origin
There is a flashback.
Like I said. I just want to get credit for remembering something.
For remembering parts of this movie.
It's true. Well, I was really worried there for a minute.
Are you sure you even saw this movie? Because you seem to have very vivid memories of every other Batman movie.
It's true. But this one had Val Kilmer, and I remember not liking it.
Yeah.
And being sad because I liked Val Kilmer.
Sure.
I think I saw him in The Doors.
Yeah.
He's generally pretty great.
Yeah.
Sure.
And he has a great jawline. I thought this will work.
Not anymore.
But
he's really beefed up.
Oh. Well.
I mean, it's still like an interesting jawline. It's just not like a square, chiseled.
But I thought it would work, but he was very unexpressive.
Yeah,
and I think
it
helped me to appreciate Michael Keaton
yeah.
so much.
I feel like, I mean, we'll find out, but I feel like Kilmer definitely was just sort of like, I'm supposed to be like a grim...
sociopath.
So he basically just spent the entire movie like talking in like this very... Not like the Christian Bale, like Batman, like, I am very aggressive, angry, but just like, I'm tired. And
when is this day over?
But that's pretty realistic. Bruce Wayne's got to be tired,
all
right?
the time.
He
all the time.
He's awake during the day and at night. He doesn't sleep, right?
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah, he does sleep.
You know who's tired?
Does he sleep upside down?
Oh, no. Right.
Butler's like 100 years
old. Let's talk about that.
Alfred's got to be
sleeping. I remember reading a film critic's review of this movie.
Oh.
Specifically talking about Val Kilmer's, like, weird choice of his Bruce Wayne, where, like, he specifically pointed out how it seemed like Val Kilmer's version of Bruce Wayne, like, didn't really like Alfred.
Oh, here's a game. We'll find out if the villains liked each other more than Batman and Alfred liked each other.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to guess probably, because as Jaquette said, I'm pretty sure they are like dancing around like children at some point with brain lasers on their heads.
And giggling. I'm going to make a bet on that. Jaquette's bet. There's going to be a scene where both villains are dancing or jumping around in celebration and glee.
Yep.
Okay.
It's really going out on a limb.
I know. My bat boat is really on the limb. That one.
That's the big one. Yeah. But they have to get there somehow.
Sure, but he's got planes.
Yeah.
That's a known thing.
I'm pretty sure, because this one introduces the titular Robin of the fourth movie.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure
No nipples on this one.
Correct.
Okay. George Clooney.
George Clooney nipple suit. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure this one, like, this is why I keep bringing up the neon thing. I think at some point before Robin becomes Robin, he, like, steals a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Put that down for Dan's bets. Robin steals Batman's motorcycle. And then he, like, goes into town. And then there's neon people there or something. And he has to, like, beat up neon people. There's, like, a gang of, like, people who are, like, incredibly lit in neon colors. Like, they're not, like, wearing neon lights, but, like, their, like, gang outfits are, like, very...
They have, like, day glow paint on.
Right? Or is that the fourth one?
I think that's the fourth one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really, I think
I think that's the one, whatever that, like, man, maybe that, you know that huge guy in that movie?
Bane.
Okay, anyway, it's a different Bane. That was a terrible Bane impression.
That's actually sounded more like Val Kilmer in this movie.
Val Kilmer.
That is his one line in the movie.
Val Kilmer.
But I think that's the neon.
I feel like, I don't know, because at some point Robin, before he becomes Robin, beats up some toughs, and that shows we, the audience, are like, oh, he could totally be a Batman. You know what I mean?
There's no Robin in this one.
But he, guys.
Okay, Molly's bets. There's no Robin in this one.
Conflicting bets.
Yeah.
There is such a Robin presence in this movie, right. Molly. It's not in the title, but.
I think.
We're saying this is like, spoiler alert for our later Batman. This is like a JGL spoiler at the end.
Oh, you're saying like.
Here he comes.
JGL. Yep.
What's
JGL?
Because Chris O'Donnell is in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Let's make this, let's be clear. Chris O'Donnell is in the movie we are about to watch.
What?
Is he?
Yeah.
Oof, all right.
Okay, because in the Batman and Robin,
he's already Robin.
He's already there, and then whatever her
the next Robin comes up,
Clueless
yep. shows up.
Yeah,
yep.
And she's the one who's like racing motorcycles and stuff. And I think that's the scene that you're talking about. I think she is racing motorcycles
with him,
and I think everybody's wearing glowing outfits.
Oh man. It's okay.
Maybe there's multiple glowing.
Because I feel like the whole thing. Because guys, let's remember this is the mid '90s, and this is like a young, attractive actor that they are trying to make the audience enjoy. Which means he is definitely riding a motorcycle at some point. He is definitely has a well close cut hairdo.
Yeah, he's kind of a preppy.
Kind of a preppy bro.
So basically, Dylan from 90210.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say.
Okay.
But he definitely rides a motorcycle in this movie. Maybe he doesn't fight Dayglow toughs.
Don't back down for your bet. I've got you down for beat up neon people.
All right, I'm sticking with it because he definitely beats up toughs before he becomes Robin, and then Batman's like, "Don't do that," and then he's like, "No, I'm gonna do it," and then he's like, "Okay." And I'm pretty sure that's like spoilers. That's like the main arc of the movie, basically.
Yeah. All right, the movie we're about to watch.
Yes,
is Robin
terrible?
Molly.
Sounds like an awful movie.
The more we talk about this movie, the less that we know about it.
Yeah, I still don't know what the major conflict is. Like, I don't know.
Brain lasers.
Oh, I guess it's mind control. I said it. Mind control gun.
Maybe. There's definitely brain lasers. I don't know if the lasers go back out and control people, though. Sure.
Well, something would need to be destroyed at the end for people to get their minds returned. Oh, because they turn into zombies.
Do
something
they?
Something about television, maybe.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
No, before he starts becoming in living color with question marks, he's like a TV inventor thing, right?
He's the cable guy.
He's the cable guy. Yeah. He is the character in the cable
Broderick guy. Matthew Broderick, his life is fine. Yeah. They go to medieval times.
Yeah.
Everything
Matthew
changes.
Broderick Batman.
What?
No.
Sorry.
But well. Yeah, no, he definitely, there's something about TV, where it's like, I'm going to make a great TV or something.
Yeah.
I think.
And it's something about that.
And it's a commentary on, because again, this is the mid-90s, so of course there's commentary about how television is rotting youth's
brains.
Right? Instead they should be riding sweet motorcycles and beating up toughs. Yep.
This is Clinton era.
Yeah, right?
Oh.
America's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's toughs. The rise of rap music. The parents are worried about their children becoming street toughs.
Yes.
And they want them to all be, you know, well-kept hair men like Chris O'Donnell.
Well-kept hair men.
Everybody wants that for their child.
Right?
Just good hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really... I have all these, like just snippets of either things blowing up, Tommy Lee Jones being, like, shooting guns and loving it.
Yeah.
And then, Chris O'Donnell just, like, trying to be tough, and then Batman saying, don't do that. And brain lasers. That's the entire movie in my head.
Yeah, you have more than I do. All I remember is climbing a mountain
yeah.
and jumping around dancing.
Yeah.
I remember tight suit on Jim Carrey.
Yes, that definitely happens. I remember being slightly traumatized by that.
Yeah, and he's got, I mean,
he's fine. There are so many costume changes for Jim Carrey in this movie.
He has a fine body for a human.
Oh, sure.
But for like a movie actor, no.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And it honestly wouldn't be as weird if there weren't glittery question marks all over it.
He's like that guy that sells you secrets to get money from the government.
Yeah, totally.
That guy's awesome.
That guy is awesome.
Apparently his daughter toured my college, so my friend gave a tour to him.
Okay.
Was he wearing the question marks?
No.
God damn it.
Did she get to go to college for free?
I don't know.
I bet.
I don't have any details to the story.
If she didn't, then that discredits his entire spiel.
That's and true. It's a terrible story.
Yeah. Yep.
It's terrible. Well, you know what's also terrible? I'm assuming Patrick. But let's go find out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. To the movie!
Yay, to the movie cave!
That was an incredible movie experience.
You guys, I don't know if I successfully captured it on camera, but the posture and face of one Molly Chase during, I would say, 98% of that movie's runtime was an amazing combination of fear, disgust, and just outright boredom.
Yeah, it was not a good movie.
No! Let's do a quick roll call.
Okay.
Did anyone think that was going to be a good movie?
I did.
Really?
I thought it was every other movie.
I thought it was going to be better, but still not good. I thought it was going to be...
Not as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sort of bad.
Yeah. I don't remember it being so, like, there were so many parts about it where I just made a sound of disgust. Just like, ugh. Like,
yeah, it's real so cartoony.
Yeah.
There's, like, backing music and instrument flares mm-hmm. to, like, whoa. Motions. Like someone pulled a mustache hair out and there was a little, like,
boink. Boink.
There's some sexy trumpets.
Oh, the sexy trumpet was the worst.
The emphatic organ music during the weird circus, not even the circus scene, before
yeah, like
that.
Random stuff. Like Jim Carrey would just be being Jim Carrey and they'd be like, beep, 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 boom, behind
him. I want to say that your recollection of him being a really solid actor.
I didn't say solid actor. I said
expecting Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. No, it was entirely...
No, it was like
in Living Color.
But you will agree that like he started small and like progressed deeper and deeper into the In Living Color character hall.
He did have a character arc.
Yeah.
Yes,
that is true.
And a hair arc.
I'm just saying there was the one scene that as a child I saw and he was speaking at a normal volume with a somewhat normal inflection, and I was like, oh, acting.
Right.
But then, by the end of the movie, he's wearing an all-glitter body condom.
That's true.
With crazy, like, double point hair.
And his mask, one eye of the mask is his question mark
yes.
riddle, so he
with
has
a
to
little,
have, like, a little
like
beauty
a
mark
beauty
thing.
Mark.
Yeah.
LNG.
For the dot.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
And he was doing, like... There was heavy bit saturation in that fortress in the last half of that movie.
Yeah. Oh, boy. A lot of thrusting.
Oh, bulge.
So much bulge.
Air bulge.
So much Jimmy C. bulge.
So many profile shots.
Yeah. But let's go over what we thought was going to happen and did or didn't.
Oh, the bets.
Okay. The bets.
Jaquette's bets.
Jaquette's bets. So, first off, I nailed the year. 95.
Yeah, 95.
Nailed
on
it.
On the money.
1995.
On the money.
Fun fact, though, when we learned the year, we also learned highest grossing film.
Highest grossing film of the year.
Yep.
Which is a Batman movie.
Sure.
That is maybe true for a lot of Batman movies.
That is probably true, actually.
Yeah. Like, The Dark Knight, the second Nolan Batman was, like...
Huge.
The
like, the greatest, the most money movie ever for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens.
Elephant Riddle, not in the movie. Not at all.
Okay,
a lot of riddles.
Okay, so can you say what the riddle was again?
Oh, okay, so the riddle was, how do you fit 5 elephants in a car? I think maybe like a VW bug is the more specific one.
Can we guess?
Do
can we all guess?
Really big car or really small elephants? Okay. You put them in the trunk. It's something to do with the trunk.
I was going to say something with a trunk.
That's good, but no.
What was the...
How do you fit five elephants in a VW bug?
Chop them up.
Poorly. I don't know.
Two in the front, three in the back.
Like passengers?
Yeah.
So we're just assuming this that an elephant can fit into the car.
Right. I think it's more of a joke, really, than
yeah, it sounds like a dad joke more than a riddle.
Now that I say it.
That's like something my dad would say. Hashtag dad jokes.
Oh, I've got a riddle.
Sure.
How do you sell a sweater to an elephant who's hard of hearing?
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, you want to buy a sweater? See, also a riddle.
Yeah. Dad joke.
Dad joke.
Hashtag dad joke.
Hmm. All right. The plot was that they were mind controlling Gotham. Nope.
Well, no. They were able to read thoughts.
Well,
right.
And it was similar, though. It was close.
I mean, it was, yeah, there was definitely a brain plot.
Yeah.
Brain plot. But lasers, dead on.
Lasers were there, yes.
Oh, my God.
And the plunger thing that sucked
the
brain lasers into him.
Was to a point where, like, lasers were doing things that lasers could not possibly do.
Yeah. Also, I have to say that the machine that was reading people's brains was definitely a blender, right?
Yeah. I think the joke is, like, he worked on it in his garage and, like, used a blender.
Okay, so that's intentional? You know what
I think
I
so.
I feel like the rest of the movie is pretty high budget to have a blender as, like, the main prop.
It was weird that, like, even when he had his super high-tech Mega Fortress, it was still a giant blender.
It's just sort of like Nike has their distinctive shoe bottom because it was made on a waffle iron to start.
What?
So maybe it was hearkening back to that.
So it was like a brand identity.
It was a brand identity.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
He clearly cares about brand identity.
He does. Although his branding was everywhere.
Can we talk about that for a second? Because I had issues with, like, there's a scene where he's using an incredibly sophisticated costume picker software where he's deciding what kind of Batman villain to be, right?
Yeah.
And then he, like, looks over at the weird carnival box that already is wearing the Riddler suit. He's like, that one.
Yeah.
But not 5 minutes before that, he put a riddle on Bruce Wayne's gate with that very question mark design on the envelope. So he was already using that theme. Yeah.
Subconsciously, he knew about the question.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It's like, a deeply psychological thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, when he's using his magic costume software, which puts costumes onto
Michelangelo's David with his head crudely pasted on top. Yeah.
It's like real bad Photoshop, but also no junk.
No junk. Blurred out.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because, this film is PG-13, so I wonder if that's a thing where, like, but you know what? I feel like Jim Carrey's situation was a little bit more offensive.
Maybe that was supposed to be foreshadowing for his outfit.
Oh, maybe.
Like the bulging. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Joel Schumacher said Jim Carrey's character is like Michelangelo's David. He's a perfect specimen of man.
Joel Schumacher seemed very interested in what is a perfect specimen of man. Because, the entire city was covered in, like, incredibly well, pun intended, sculpted men, like, holding up bridges, being part of a circus tent somehow.
You guys, that whole city would have fallen down had it not been for all of those
statues. Well, every statue is, like, the cover of Atlas Shrugged, right? Mm-hmm. It's like that dude.
Yeah.
But they all have, like, 8 packs.
Yeah.
And the scale is huge. They're really, I don't think there's a single frame in the movie that does not include a giant statue. Yeah.
Right. Like, even that reception desk had gigantic bird statues on each side.
Yeah. It was bananas.
That was a desk. It wasn't even...
He had a style. He had a consistent style. It was giant statues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Neon lights.
And angles.
Oh, lots of angles.
So many angles. It was like, I felt dizzy watching the movie. That made me the most angry out of anything. And it was incredibly sexist.
Oh, it was. Big time.
Before we get into the sexism, I just want to say, watching this movie with this group was a chorus of bulge, statue, ew, and angle.
Yeah.
I'm sort of sad we didn't record just that. But yeah, no, it was an incredibly just gross movie in that way, too. Definitely failed the test.
Oh,
hardcore.
Like, not even... There was a situation where Batman, the Riddler, and then Nicole Kidman's character, Chase Meridian.
Yes, yes. Doctor.
Dr. Chase Meridian.
Please.
She is a
breathless, sexy psychologist.
Yes. Nicole Kidman, who we were right. That's her.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Drew Barrymore's character, who's, I believe, named Sugar.
Grimes
Sugar.
they're all meeting each other, but Sugar and Chase Meridian never get
introductions.
No introduction. Yeah. They don't get to even shake hands.
But again, as I pointed out during the viewing, as stated by Jim Carrey 2 seconds before that, Drew Barrymore is there to work.
Yeah.
She is not there to make friends.
It's true.
Or even communicate with other human beings.
Networking, though, that's always that's true. Thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those characters are the most egregious,
I think. Oh, boy.
Sugar and Spice.
Sexy lady business time.
Well, what was great about those two is, like, actually, here's the thing, is they almost successfully accomplished step one, named women. But I'm pretty sure they never actually said those women's names out loud.
The Bruce Wayne's assistant had a name, Margaret.
Margaret, yes.
And you saw her and she spoke.
But she only spoke to Bruce Wayne.
Right.
And
so there were two named female characters, at least.
Yes.
They just never
spoke to each other.
Yeah. Or were in the same room.
Or even spoke to each other.
Yeah.
Like even I don't two even faces, know two it. Hench ladies who are always together never spoke to each other.
Yeah, I don't know if it even hit spoke to each other about a man.
Right, no, they didn't even speak at all to each other. It was always to Tommy Lee Jones or somebody else.
Yeah, they really could have had some catty remark.
Right?
Like, ooh, he's my man. No,
or even just something like, it's a living, like Flintstone style.
I wish that would have happened in that movie.
But yeah, the Sugar and Spice characters are amazing. Because, Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face, and everything has to be good and bad. So in his lair, split down the middle of the room, it's colored white and black, and Sugar, Drew Barrymore's character.
Mm-hmm. Glenda the Good Witch.
Dressed all in white, but very sexy.
Yeah.
And then there's Spice. I don't know the actress.
Debbie Mazar.
Debbie Mazar.
She is like in many things.
Yeah. My Cousin Vinny. She's in that.
Empire Records.
Wow.
Premium cable TV's Entourage.
Yes, right.
Yep. She plays the publicist, right?
She had whips.
She is like
the one redeeming
character in that show, kind of. We're not going to go into that. We're talking about Batman Forever.
I just want to say that even the psychologist, the doctor, never does her intended job except to consult with Bruce Wayne.
No.
She is called out in the opening scene to go talk down this criminal mind due to her expertise.
Yeah, but...
And she stands outside the building while Batman takes the elevator.
Wearing, like, what doesn't even appear to be, like, outside clothes.
Like, it was her lace nightie. Yeah. Clearly racist.
That she just, like, put a coat on.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Batman shows up, she is ready to drop Trow there and just take him on the steps.
No.
Her mouth does not close for the entire film.
And I don't think she ever spoke a word in a full vocal register. No. It was always like,
And between that and Val Kilmer's whisper, right? And then Two-Face's whisper,
everybody's
it was
whispering.
It was like they're all in a library.
Yeah, except for Jim Carrey, who was being kicked out of several libraries all of the time. Yeah, my first note on this movie was Kidman laying it on thick, which I then underlined, I believe, 7 times, then drew a square around it, and then circled the square. Because, like, every scene was... if it wasn't PG-13, every scene she would have just said, "Do you want to fuck me?"
Yeah. And then taken her gear off.
And without provocation. Oh, and speaking of jabbing boobs, that was, I feel, the most uncomfortable part of their relationship. When she, like... just placed her hands and like rubbed them on his Batman chest and abs.
Yes.
Which is like clearly molded rubber. Like those are not his actual muscles. But she was like, this was her dream touching those fake man pecs.
Yeah.
Like she was basically liquid at that point and it was so gross. Yeah. So gross.
Yeah.
Ugh, the kissing.
Oh.
They both have very full lips.
And they like attacked each other.
Use them just as much as possible. I mean, Val Kilmer's got kind of, he's got pouty lips.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And they were accentuated by the stiff, constricting cowl that he was wearing most of the movie, or half the movie, I guess. Because he's both Bruce Wayne and Batman, guys, in case we didn't know when he said it at the end.
There's a lot of duality happening in this
The
film.
Theme of duality is very hit upon in this movie.
Yeah, except they did that with the second movie, too, in a way more, like, interesting way, because it was like, let's talk about how sad we are, and also how we pretend to be other people, because we're sad. Whereas this one was like, guys, this is a man made of two different looking halves. Get it?
Yeah. Do you get it?
Get it?
Oh, But isn't he the same as Batman, really?
Oh, maybe.
Because now you have to choose at the end. By the way, I'm right about the tubes.
By the way.
Oh, tubes. Choosing.
Yes.
One of you, both of you maybe said that.
I got the choosing, but not the tubes.
Yeah, but you thought it was the fourth movie.
Well, because of the
Batman
thing.
You thought everything
thing.
Was the fourth movie. Yeah.
But also we should talk about Robin, because Molly said no Robin at all.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Okay. He's a huge Slam part of the
jamma.
Movie.
Huge part of the movie.
Slam a jamma. New catchphrase.
He is. It's true.
And Dan was right. He did go and beat up Neon People as his...
Boom.
Yes.
I was incorrect that he stole a bike. He already owned a bike. But he stole the Batmobile.
Stole the Batmobile.
Mm-hmm. To apparently pick up hookers?
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah, he drives...
He drives into
that part of town. Like, it's not like he's racing
hey
to save...
Everybody.
Yeah.
And all the ladies of the night,
yes.
or whatever they were like, that's not Batman.
Yeah, they were not... They were not down.
Because they were ready to get down with Batman.
Yeah, they
Who
were.
Isn't, right?
And he
apparently.
Pulled back the, you know, the bat
Thing.
Window.
Yes.
And they're like, you're not Batman. He's like, no, I took my costume off. Like, he still wanted to bone.
Yeah. Which was like, see, that's the thing is, like, they presented it like, oh, he's going to save this lady from the Neon Gang.
Yeah.
But that just happened circumstantially. He was going to pick up a prostitute, then saw that woman almost get assaulted by the Neon Gang.
Oh, can we talk about
yes,
the near
we can.
Assault?
Yes, we can.
This woman is definitely about to get, like, some sexual violence
like,
is going to occur.
Serious.
There are, like... A group of, like, 10 men
At
who
least
will not
10.
Let her go.
No.
She's screaming, running away. They keep chasing her.
Yeah, and these men, let's be clear, have blacklight-sensitive skulls painted on their face and, like, neon streamers tied in their hair. So you know they are the toughest street toughs in the world.
Yeah.
She's very clearly afraid for her life.
Very afraid.
Yeah.
She actually, I think, does a very good job of that.
Yes.
She might be the best actress in the
she
movie.
Might.
I am going to say most definitely.
But then Chris O'D...
Chris O'Diaz became his name during the watching of this
because
movie.
Because he has a sweet ass, so
yes.
that Chris O'Diaz.
Which I've misheard as Chris O'Diaz.
Right. He saves her by beating everybody up,
yeah.
and then she's so taken by being saved, she just smooches
does he,
face.
Does
no,
he
it's
beat
worse
them
than
up
that.
First? I don't even think, I think he walks
he
in.
He saves her from them.
Yeah, he's like,
but
hey,
they're
leave
all
her
still,
alone,
yeah.
and she kind of walks over,
he,
and then...
He punches a few of them.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
And then immediately switches over to, I believe the line was, does Batman...
Doesn't Batman
doesn't,
ever kiss... The girl or something
yeah.
like that. And he's like, yeah. He doesn't even say anything. He just like goes for it.
Yeah,
he does a full-on Nicole Kidman style kiss.
And it's sad because she did the most convincing acting job.
Until,
well, and in that moment. And so it just, the whole idea that someone could be at the brink of sexual assault and then the next moment be like, oh, baby, give me those lips is weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
To be fair, Chris O'Diaz has a sweet earring, like a big old
Guys,
chunk stone.
Like, let us remember, 1995.
1995
was
kind of tight.
Still, I remember
cut,
seeing it in 1995 and thinking, what's with the earring?
Shirtless
That's terrible.
Tea. He's got a shirtless
But they
tea.
Weren't going for you, Molly.
Sleeveless tea.
Molly.
You can't have a shirtless tea.
Excellent point.
Molly, they were not going for you. This movie was rated PG-13.
Yeah.
They were going for the 13.
This,
well,
this
I
movie
think they
is
going for
one,
the 10-year-old boys. 100%.
Yeah, 10-year-old boy movie.
The big earring was for the 10-year-old boys?
Yes.
Yeah, like, look
I don't
cool
know who.
Oh, right. Earrings
earring.
Mean cool, yeah.
He's got a leather coat
That's
and
true.
A turtleneck.
That's true.
Those prostitutes want to have sex with him.
Right?
Yeah.
Even the girl who should be like, there is still an imminent threat here, we need to get out of here, wants to have sex with him.
And then due to the delay, there are suddenly now not only 10 neon hoodlums. With
oh, so many hoodlums.
It's so many.
There's like 40.
And then they glow in the dark.
That was amazing.
And it's only because Batman shows up that they scatter.
And we're also supposed to believe that Robin is a minor. He's under 18.
Yeah, because like his parents die.
His whole family dies.
Spoilers.
Obviously. and Bruce Wayne, I guess, offers to take him in so he doesn't have to go to social services. There's a line essentially summarizing that. So must be a minor.
Yeah.
He's got to be like 25.
At least.
Right?
Yeah. Ridiculous. We're very unclear about that. If we're getting back to predictions, I just want to say within the first, I'd say 5 or 10 minutes, the line came up. Oh no, it's boiling acid.
Right, yeah, you nailed that.
The opening action scene, includes getting trapped in a vault, which is then swung out of the building by a helicopter.
Yes.
Which then the safety deposit box
has
in the vault
has apparently been altered.
Yeah.
And they
should
be able to hold
boiling
acid.
Not acid.
Boiling
acid, you guys.
Yes.
That guard, man.
Oh, that guy. I mean, I really felt for him. I'm really glad that worked out.
It was a real bummer. But yeah, you nailed the acid.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder what percentage of the Batman movies have acid.
If that's a great question.
Majority?
Oh. That's there were also burning barrels. I wanted to thank you.
Yes, there were barrels with fire.
Gotham. Mm-hmm. That's
flaming
Gotham.
Barrels, flaming gas.
Yeah.
And a very
including
clever
a fart joke. Yeah.
Fart joke.
Thank you, Tommy Lee Jones.
Absolutely.
I bet he improv that one.
Yeah.
Oh, I predicted there would be gleeful dancing between both of them.
Yes.
Oh. They definitely had it separately.
They almost made out.
But they did have a lot of gleeful, like, kind of cuddling.
I'm going to give it to you. Because there was, like, a lot of, like, manic hugs.
Yeah.
And, like...
Towards the end, when Jim Carrey was in the... I'm sorry, the sparkly... Body condom.
Yeah,
they were hugging and giggling maniacally.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, great.
And also, at one point, Jim Carrey says, or his character, sorry, says, oh, we're two of a kind. Mm. And I was like, oh, I wonder what the thing is.
The love story between Two-Face and the Riddler was is more believable than Nicole Kidman and Doc Thorne.
Absolutely.
And they bonded over something, and they were just
they bonded over lasers.
They had a shared interest.
Killing Batman.
Interested in each other's lives.
Yeah.
They enjoyed each other's company.
Well, remember, like, the first scene where, like, he first has the idea, he's literally watching Two-Face kill people on TV, and he's, like, enraptured.
He's eating popcorn.
Yeah.
He's, like, he loves it.
And that was more compelling chemistry than any of the, like, breathy, I'm already sexually aroused Batman Nicole Kidman delivery.
Well, I would have been glad even if Alfred had connected with somebody.
Oh,
everybody
my God.
Was so mean.
Can
to
we
him.
Talk about how adorable Alfred is and how mean literally every character was to him?
The first line of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Is, can I get you something to eat?
He's like, take a sandwich.
He's like, I'll get something at the drive.
And he says it, really terse, like, I'll get drive-thru.
This is a man who has raised him from a little boy when his parents were murdered.
Okay, and then Alfred offers Robin the most delicious plate of food.
Oh my God, it looked incredible.
It looked so good.
Guys,
it made me want a cheeseburger.
Gourmet burger, onion rings on top. Glass of milk
because he's a minor.
He's a minor.
In a chalice. Yeah. It was like a very fancy
a
glass.
With flowers.
It was like a fancy feast commercial.
Yeah,
like
it was
cat
so
food.
Sweet. And Robin like barely smiles the whole time.
And he calls him Al. Like,
Al,
what the
like,
fuck?
Get it together.
Are you kidding me? And he like throws his laundry at him. Laundry!
Laundry!
Holy shit, you guys.
The best part of the whole movie. None of us remembered.
No, which is shocking to me. I feel like this was the one scene we would have burned into our brains for all eternity.
Yeah.
That's an
incredible scene.
Set the scene.
Okay, Chris O'Diaz has just been taken in by Bruce Wayne.
Indeed.
And he's doing his laundry because he's an independent, tough guy who wears sleeveless tees.
Yes. Yep. Alfred has offered.
Alfred offers to dry his clothes for him.
Do it all.
Do it all.
Yeah.
Do the whole thing. To which he responds
something like
I've
been
it.
Taking care of myself my whole life, or whatever.
No, even though his family just died.
Cue badass grungy guitar.
Yeah, and he does like a karate clinic / clothes drying. He takes his wet socks and does them like nunchucks, and then whips them over the clothing line. The best is he takes his shirt and like whips it around his foot.
Yeah.
And then squeegees out all the water.
Right, in like a weirdly
like he's definitely doing like martial arts
way. Yeah. Like overtly masculine.
And like
way.
Flips it under the line and then catches the mop somehow and mops up all the water that he's just drenched the floor by doing karate laundry drying.
But, it's like put it on spin cycle, man.
But like that was presented like we are supposed to think this is the coolest dude in the world.
Yeah.
Sort of winks at Alfred, which
I
appreciated.
No, he does it like at the end he like gives him like a thumbs up and a wink.
Okay.
A thumbs up out. In this movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, thumbs up. I wrote it. He definitely gives a thumbs up. Thumbs up and
oh, boy.
Incredible. That's worth watching. If you... No one should see this movie.
But Google...
you should YouTube...
Batman Forever Laundry Scene?
Laundry
maybe?
Scene, maybe.
I'd like to think that it has enough of a reputation where you could just write Batman Forever Laundry, and first hit.
You get on. Yeah.
First hit, 40 different copies of it on YouTube because everyone is uploading
Hopefully.
We can only hope. Wow.
I do want to say that the most frightening part of this film, I thought... was after a interaction between Batman and Chase Meridian. Yep.
I am showing. I have a photo queued up. I have a photo queued up right now.
Oh, God. A photo of it. Val Kilmer turns away
from Dr. Sexy McSex.
Yes. And smiles.
Oh, I wouldn't call that a smile.
In a way that, like, physically made us all recoil.
Yeah. It looks like a bad claymation.
Yeah.
Like, his face turns to putty and then... And comes, like, more out than up.
Yeah, it's
like
very
Cheshire
disturbing.
Small smile.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me throw out this theory, controversial theory.
Okay.
Now, we noticed earlier in the movie and throughout the movie how constricting that Batman costume was, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Val Kilmer tried to smile in that scene. Schumacher was like, God, no, you gotta be happy. So they just had the computer wizards of 1995, like, digitally add a smile, and Schumacher, who again is the man who created giant ab statue Gotham and neon rape gang, maybe he, like, in his fever dream was like, that's it, that's the one, where it's like clearly too big for his face.
I would not be surprised, right? Because it looked like just not natural.
No,
at
just
all.
So and like, he even smiles later in the costume, totally different smile.
Yeah.
He does it fine.
I'd like to think that this took an entire day of filming, where Schumacher is screaming at Val Kilmer, like, that's not the smile!
Yeah.
I have no idea what Schumacher sounds like.
They're so exhausted from just chewing on each other's faces. Like, he can't...
Maybe that's... Oh, that's what it... Maybe Kidman, like, actually, like, atrophied the muscles of Kilmer's face from all the animal kissing. Animalistic passion kiss.
Yeah.
Guys.
Oh. This movie.
Yeah, it's...
I want to, just speaking of 1995, I want to say that my absolute favorite line in the entire movie was, the bat signal is not a beeper.
Oh, very current.
It's very current.
Yeah, that's
when... But nobody in the entire movie ever has a beeper.
No, that's true. A good point.
And they don't wedge the time, you know, it's sort of timeless. Like, the bad guys drive a 1950s souped up car.
Right.
You're never sure what year it is.
And his...
But the one stake they put in the ground.
Beeper. Right.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Thank you. That's all.
You're done?
That's all. That's my only observation.
The other technology that they had in this, well, you know, the Batcave has a lot of technology happening. Except for maybe the worst security system of all time.
Oh, my God.
What was the exact phrase?
Intruder acknowledged.
Intruder acknowledged.
That is the alarm that sounds when there's an intruder.
And when that alarm goes off...
The car, the Batmobile, rises from a hidden location.
From a secure hidden location.
Everyone would be like, oh, this is just a... Just
weird
the ground,
cave.
Just the floor.
There are all these computers.
Nope, the computer lifts from the ground... Nope, not computer.
Batmobile.
Batmobile lifts from the ground.
But I'm pretty sure the computer turned on, right?
Yeah, computer turns on, all the lights turn on. Everything is like, oh, this is what we have
here. Here you go, intruder.
It presents itself like a shopping mall.
Yeah.
Everything is free.
And I just love how it's not even, it is literally for its own benefit. It's acknowledging the intruder. It's not sending a message to anybody.
No.
It's not. There's no alert that's being sent out. It is acknowledged, intruder.
I see you, intruder.
Yeah.
It's up to you whether you leave or not.
It's a moral question. Yeah. It's like, here's
everything.
Here's everything. Go ahead.
I see you.
Right.
I know you're there.
If you think you can live with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. The back computer is like a doting mother trying to teach a lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you try to steal a car, it makes you smoke an entire carton of cigarettes.
It pops up out of the Batmobile.
Oh, God. I have notes, you guys. I'm looking at my notes. I'm very concerned about
I have
notes.
Written down high pants and big shoulder pads.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is good. Let's start. Let's talk about costume and hair.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
Was he... Okay. Did every scene of Bruce Wayne was he wearing high pants? Or was it just that one...
Just near the end when he's got a suit coat and
slacks. Oh, my God. Those pants.
Suit, but they're like up.
So
grandpa
high.
Grandpa high.
Yeah.
They're like near... They're like good 3 inches above his belly button.
Getting up.
Or four of the 8 packs on his belly.
Oh, right. Yeah. Very good.
Half
maybe
pack.
Five.
He's half packing those pants.
Okay. I have several questions about costuming in this movie.
Go for it.
One. All of Two-Face's henchmen had like an insane number of piercings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like way more. One, way more than anyone should have. But two, way more than you should have if you have to put a ski mask over your head every morning to go to work.
Great point.
Yep.
I mean, they were...
It's going to get caught.
Yeah, they were sticking out of every part of their head.
And if a lot of your work jumping around, getting punched or in the face by Batman. Punched,
right. That's
like,
a problem.
Like, you're going to get more lip damage when it's filled with
not
metal.
Not to mention, Batman's whole MO is like, let me find the most efficient way to take a thug down.
Yeah.
He's going to just yank those rings off
like
their face.
Candle for...
He won't even have to punch him. Yeah. Just go, meh. And just then they're...
Terrible. Think about what you've done.
Right. Yeah, it's like the Bat computer. Two.
Two.
Jim Carrey's hair. Are you taking pictures of my notes?
Yes.
Okay. Upside down?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad this is on tape. Jim Carrey's hair. First, when he first shows up, terrifying wig.
As Edward Nygma.
Edward Nygma.
He's just got sort of a floppy,
like,
strawberry blonde,
no,
light red.
Bright orange, like Sean White.
No, not that orange.
It was orange, sir.
But definitely you'd say he has orange hair, but not like...
Yeah, I'm trying to... It's like, also wispy.
Yeah. Wispy. It's just gross looking.
While he's taking selfies.
Sweet pics. Sweet pics.
So
But then, like, but then the hair became a weird thing because, one, he gets a Chris O'Diaz style haircut when he becomes the Riddler because then he can put the. He's got to put the hat on.
Which makes him completely unrecognizable.
Oh my god. He looks like a terrifying, like, it's like if somebody tried to build a wax figurine of B. Arthur from memory. And just like he just looked like this terrifying, you know, slightly above middle age. He's wearing so much makeup, you guys.
Yeah.
So much makeup.
Yeah.
It looks a little Bowie-esque to me.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Kind of like a little Ziggy stuff.
But like not attractive at all.
No.
I was going to say, I feel like Bowie would be really offended by that.
It was just the red hair and like kind of the
white
porcelain. Heavy makeup. White,
Like a lot of makeup.
But then every time he was Edward Nygma, businessman.
Yeah.
Brown hair, Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Truman Show style.
Yes. Goes by that name.
Right.
And yet, there is a giant set of riddles that have to be solved at the end.
Yes.
Yeah. Bruce
Five
and Alfred.
Clues.
Guys, that riddle payoff was not good.
No.
Solve an extremely convoluted set of
Your
riddles.
Your elephant puzzle
so
was better.
Yes.
Bad.
Because it turned out the entire purpose of the riddle was like, there are numbers. We could see what the numbers are if they were letters.
Yeah. But maybe two of the numbers are one number.
Right.
So it's and a now, mystery.
And now we'll get some wordplay in there. And now we know who...
Well, no. It went from numbers to letters like M,
yeah.
S, T, Y.
But what if we...
And then
put,
what if we call it mystery? Yeah. What's another word for mystery?
Enigma. Mr. Enigma.
Maybe it's Mr.
Edward Nygma.
Which I feel like is super obvious.
I mean...
And Bruce Wayne already knows this guy.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like...
He met him at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Thought he was odd, was given this guy's name, and then has to go through all that pain and suffering and five clues in order to figure it out.
I shouted at the TV because I actually was shocked he did not already know who the Riddler was.
He's supposed to be the world's
greatest detective.
Yeah. That is an official nickname.
That
of
is
Batman.
Printed on the comics, like, all the time. First page. World's greatest detective.
Maybe that is only in comparison to the commissioner.
Oh my god. Oh. The commissioner.
That guy is easily convinced.
Yeah.
Commissioner watched a... Well, they never really explained that apparently Jimmy C knows how to recreate footage of a man jumping out of a window.
Yeah. After the window's
already broken.
Presumably.
Yeah.
Unless he planned the whole thing, which, like, it didn't seem like.
No, it did not. It seemed very spur of the moment.
And then also he can...
Copy
people's
handwriting
perfectly.
Yes.
Oh, that's because he sucked in his brainwaves.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
So he could have written a note like, Dear Alfred, this is Bruce Wayne. Don't blow up the house.
Well, he never got Bruce Wayne's, but he got
He did get Bruce Wayne's. That's how he knew he was Batman.
I think he just got that weird hazy thing.
Oh, he just got the creepy guy in the reject costume from the Lion King Broadway show, Bat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But at the beginning, all to say, there was a very weird setup where a guy is strapped to a chair.
And Begley Jr.
And Begley Jr. Uncredited.
Uncredited. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he had his name removed.
No, I doubt it. Maybe he's friends with Schumacher.
Oh, that would be
Maybe
nice.
Begs his buds with Shoe.
If he's listening, I'm really sorry.
I'm sure he's listening. Ed Begley Jr., huge podcast listener. That could be true. I don't know.
It probably is.
But the commissioner, he sees a video, and I believe as soon as he sees the video, he's like, pretty cut and dried, and then they hand in the note, which I believe is just, like, giant block letters.
It looks like it's written by a child.
Goodbye, cruel world. And he's like, definitely a suicide.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch. And then what did he say later that we found hilarious? Like, he's, Oh, it was like, remember he was on the roof and he just was like, we look so sad.
He was like a puppy dog.
Yeah, it was like, oh yeah, that's right. It was like they thought Batman wasn't going to come. Even though at that point, yeah, at the time when he was sad that Batman was going to stop the crazy laser tower in the middle of the bay,
yeah,
he didn't know what was happening either.
Right.
Like, only Batman knew the Riddler was, like, sucking brain goo, right?
Right. Everybody else just thought they had 3D
television. We're watching a sweet 3D TV.
Yeah.
Maybe the commissioner figured out, because maybe he is better than we think. And it's just all off screen. Maybe there's a huge deleted scene where the commissioner independently figures out who the Riddler is,
yeah,
what those machines do.
Oh, but you guys, seeing the commissioner on the roof,
oh, so
when Batman doesn't show up, it's like a little kid whose dad doesn't show up.
It was amazing. Like, here's Mark coming.
Turn off the light.
Turn off the light. Yes,
Jeffrey Dog.
I guess I gotta go solve crime by myself.
There's a reason they kept that guy on for all of those movies. He was the commissioner in the first two as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because that line delivery was classic.
It's amazing.
Here's Mark coming.
Amazing.
That scene and the laundry scene so far.
Oh my god, amazing. Okay, can we talk about the Riddler's headquarters?
Yeah.
Is that a thing that we can talk about?
Yeah.
Because I have some issues with that as well.
The headquarters, which is an island.
Is an island, nailed it. Oh, boat!
Boat!
Oh,
boat!
Jaquette's bats, you total boat. Total boat.
Boat.
Yeah,
boat.
The bat vehicle, the orgy of bat vehicles.
Oh my god, so many.
When... You know, Brucey Wayne
jumps on the plane. Bat plane.
Wayne.
Yep, that's what he's called.
Jumps in the plane, bat plane, and then
goes through a way too complicated tunnel.
And amazingly, like a labyrinth of a tunnel.
Like they could have just made like a straight shoot, you know, like one direction.
It's a plane.
Or just rise straight up. It's got the technology.
Yeah. His car could rise straight up. Why couldn't the plane do it?
But then Chris O'Diaz gets
boat.
A bat boat.
Oh, sweet bat
which
boat.
Which gets sunk within
like right away.
By the Riddler and Two-Face blowing up their sea mines essentially playing Battleship.
But not really, because they're both blowing up the same boat.
They have a big grid in front of them. Yeah. It looks like one of those old board game commercials that I remember.
Make it look like way cooler than the actual board game?
Yeah. Crossfire.
Like Crossfire. Oh, right. Where a bunch of kids who look a lot like Chris O'Donnell in this movie.
Leather jackets.
Yeah. And probably some close hair. No, they probably greasy longer hair. It was earlier.
Yeah.
It looked so cool, but then you realize, like, they're actually basically just activating one mine.
Yeah.
And it's probably just the one that they, like, look at a camera, like, oh, the boat's right there.
They move a marker on a plexiglass grid.
Right.
And then
they
say
the coordinates for that. Let's think about that. He put together this whole huge headquarters. He's like, we'll put a battleship game in there to blow up the mines around the island.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff happening in that. A lot of lighting.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
Okay,
skipping ahead. No, please.
He might have the most lighting design of any other villain I think
we've
ever seen.
Oh my god, right?
He put a lot of thought into
this stuff.
There's question mark lights.
Show me
shit. Laser lights.
Yeah.
I was going to say there are swirly ones, but I think that's at the...
Circus.
One of many galas that they
the circus gala.
There's two galas.
Two galas.
One circus is gala. Also a circus. Yeah, the circus gala, which has... essentially the statue men, but actual people in sort of like borderline offensive
that
Pacific
was weird.
Islander gear.
It like looked like
drums.
Oh, we found these men in the sacred islands of Kookaburra. Like they might as well have said that out loud because it was borderline hard racist.
Yeah.
Speaking of those men, those were probably the only people of color in this movie.
The mayor is...
Oh, right, that one guy. That one guy. Oh, and Margaret.
Assistant, African-American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Assistant.
But other than that...
Although the mayor, that's pretty good. Although his one line was just like, what do you want, honey?
Yeah, pretty minor role.
Pretty minor.
Which I presume that's the same mayor that was Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee was Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh!
Billy Dee played Harvey Dent in the first
You're
movie.
You're right.
Which means that not only did Billy Dee Williams... Or did Harvey Dent lose half his face? He also lost the other half of his face and replaced it with the face of a white man.
Yeah, because these movies are in the same series.
Yes, it is established because he says to Chris O'Diaz, if you kill the crazy guy who killed your parents, it's still going to hurt.
Yeah.
Because he totally did that in the first movie. Yeah. Spoiler alert for the Batman you thought, Molly, that this Batman movie was.
I meant to mention this in the first half, but a rumor I heard about this movie is that Michael Keaton did not want to do it, maybe after Tim Burton jumped ship.
Sure.
And then that resulted in getting blacklisted in Hollywood, and that's why he was not...
Michael Caine?
Yeah, not in movies for a long time.
After like, they got mad at him for not wanting to be in Neon Nipple Fest?
Correct.
Neon Nipple
Correct.
Fest.
I don't know if it's true or not.
I mean, it was the top grossing movie in 1995. That's probably true. So...
I do want to read the Leonard Maltin...
Oh, please.
Summary
please.
Of this movie. Well, first of all, Leonard Maltin gives movies star ratings. Yep. 4 is the most. This movie was given 3 stars.
Yeah, definitely. What? Definitely. 3 stars. Sure.
I just want to... The first one... Okay. Kilmer makes the role of Batman / Bruce Wayne his own in this well-written sequel in which the Caped Crusader battles Two-Face and the The Riddler, while attempting... at least for a while, to resist the advances of a sexy psychologist. Mm.
True.
He also acquires a partner in O'Donnell, and it's this aspect of the film, the character relationships, that give it solidity.
Yep.
Really?
Words are hard.
But so he's saying that, like, the...
That the relationships really ground
top
the
notch.
Film?
Yeah.
Top notch. The relationships and a well-written sequel. That would you call that a well-written
no.
movie
no.
at all?
I will say Val Kilmer does a pretty good job. He's not...
He's a journeyman.
Yeah.
He's a journeyman in this movie.
He's like, not he's as doing bananas the work. As the villains. Like, he does a fine
How could he
Bruce
be
Wayne
as
Batman.
Bananas as those villains?
That glittery... I mean,
do you think Tommy Lee Jones was anxious about being able to keep up with Jim Carrey?
Maybe that's why. That's why he went like full ham like that. Like,
yeah, he went pretty hard at that.
Yeah,
it was.
Those like the last 20 minutes where they're in the fortress of question marks. Like they were both just all over the place.
I kind of wonder if they just get a load of their costumes and we're just like,
fuck it.
We're going.
Yeah.
The movie we're making, that like, we're doing it.
Yeah. And honestly, like that seemed to fit the characters because like. The Riddler, especially, like you were saying, like so ostentatious in the like the when the rock fortress like was elevated weirdly for no reason and they had to like climb the tube. Didn't you call that? Didn't they say they had to climb something? Wasn't that one of your bets?
Yeah. That was one thing I remember. They had to climb the mountain fortress.
When they're climbing fortress. Inside that the center column that holds up the giant blender,
yeah,
or whatever,
right.
There are question mark lasers inside that tube.
Yeah.
No one can see those except the people in the tube.
Right.
Which was just Batman, who was supposed to die in that tube.
Yep.
Well, but he needs to know by
he needs to know who killed it.
But Beth is absolutely right. There, the care and attention paid to lighting.
Yes, oh my God.
And because that gala...
Care might not be the right word.
Well, obsession.
Yes.
Even the gala with the swirly lights, that was thrown by, the Riddler guy.
Edward Enigma.
Mr. Enigma. What's another word for mystery?
Mr. Enigma.
Guys, the right? Isn't that riddle amazing? Great riddle. Well-written sequel.
For somebody who their thing is to make riddles, terrible riddles.
Terrible.
They were all solved within 4 seconds.
Right.
It's like, oh, what?
Well, the world's greatest detective.
That's true. True that.
Maybe they wrote them in... Maybe that's why it is a well-written sequel. They intentionally gave him shitty riddles.
Yes.
Well, no, because they should be great riddles, because then he's worked with Terry to still figure it out.
It's the only credit they give to Nicole Kidman's character at any point during the entire movie when is that she's able to solve the riddle. But
some
then you've
of them.
Already seen...
Some of the riddles.
You've already seen Batman or Bruce Wayne or whatever solve it, so it seems less impressive. Like, she's just able to keep up with
it. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's maybe that's why they're meant to be together.
Oh.
World's greatest detective, world's greatest psychologist.
Right. World's biggest lips, most breathiness.
So much lips, you guys. God, so gross every time. Every time they go for it, just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. Did we talk about the tubes in the tube?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking about tubes. I nailed it.
I had an issue with that too, because there were 2 tubes for 2 prisoners.
Yeah.
No one knew Robin was coming except Robin. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like by the time they pretend to be trick-or-treaters to break into the mansion to blow up the thing and do all the creepy bulge thrusting, right? He's already left. He's already pissed off at Bruce Wayne, runs away.
Yeah.
They don't even know Robin's a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then they have the 2 tubes there, and he even says, like, here is the greatest riddle of all. Who do you save? This man I've never met before. Or this girl I know you were totally kissing hard a few minutes ago.
Maybe that's how good he is at figuring it out. He knew there would be someone coming
that
would represent his Batman half.
Oh, sure. I'll go for it. Let's go for it.
Might as well, right?
I mean, those costumes, he's got to be pretty smart, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing,
did
right?
Did he make those himself?
I hope
the,
so.
The brain sucker yeah. was giving him their brain power.
Oh, right. So he was the world's greatest detective.
Right, he was getting IQ points
right.
through green lasers.
What do you... Let's all go around the table. What do you think his IQ was by the height of his powers? I'm going to say... What?
140.
Well,
pretty good. It's yeah. a pretty good IQ. Have to be like a million, yeah. right? Like Gotham.
The entire city is being sucked
but
in his brain.
Would it really be cumulative, or wouldn't it just average out?
Well, the intelligent quotient test is sort of a failed way of measuring intellectual power beyond a certain age.
Like, if you suck the brains of a bunch of dumb people,
yeah.
how does that make you smarter?
That's true. They were all dumb because they were just like, duh, I'm going to watch this 3D fishing man on the TV.
Yeah, and the
TV they were watching was really shitty.
Right.
Yeah.
It was always like a fishing guy.
All the smart people are reading books.
We're losing resolution.
Oh, that's right. There was like a weird, like what looked like a pressure gauge
yes.
for TV resolution when he was testing out his blender machine.
Yep.
Yep.
So then he pulled it to full power, which then made the laser happen. Like at first it was just 3D fishing TV.
Right.
Then he upped the resolution, which apparently meant lasers that take intelligence points.
Yep. Yep. Checks out.
Batman. Forever. You guys.
I think I agree with myself in the first half when I say that there's no reason to watch this movie.
No.
It's terrible,
but
Batman
not in
Robin
a fun way. Batman Robin
is terrible, but like over the top.
Oh my God.
Where you can enjoy the ride. This is like infuriating.
Okay.
Offensive.
Yeah, like really offensive. Although half of Batman Robin is Uma Thurman in like a skin tight suit going like, ooh, I also want to have sex with Batman. Yeah.
That's true.
But she's using it as like a weapon, right?
Well, her whole
thing is
like
yeah,
you
want to have sex
you,
with me.
She,
oh!
You're dead.
Right, because yeah. she makes
like,
me want to have
Mr.
sex
Freeze.
With her. Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
Poison Ivy is like a third wave feminist icon. Right? Is that
Poison
the one
Ivy?
Where you reclaim your sexuality?
Yeah, but she does it like by hypnotizing people with plant gas
yeah.
or whatever. That's kind of weird, right?
Sure. But she's using her sexiness
sure.
as a positive thing in her life.
That's true. Unlike,
to destroy people.
Unlike yeah. the Dennis. Hmm?
Well, same thing with Catwoman, really.
Yeah.
She's just more depressed. But.
Sure.
Way more depressed.
Yeah.
And she sewed, lobster forks into her gloves or whatever.
So I went on a tour of Warner Brothers.
Yeah?
And they had the costumes for Poison Ivy and Catwoman right next to each other.
Mm.
And it's amazing because Michelle Pfeiffer is like 5'2",
mm-hmm.
and Uma Thurman is like almost
she's real
6
tall,
feet tall.
Right?
Yeah.
And so to see their costumes next to each other was just sort of an amazing moment. It
right.
made Catwoman's costume look like a child.
Yeah. Well, she kind of was like a child in that movie, childlike.
A sarcastic one. That
yeah.
one scene, I remember it was in all the previews where there's a huge explosion behind her and
okay.
she just goes that
far. For the listener, we are now talking about a different Batman movie.
Batman Returns?
Returns.
Yep.
Go ahead.
That was it.
What? You didn't even finish your sentence. I interrupted you because I'm an asshole.
It was amazing. No. I was just quoting. At the end, there's a huge explosion behind her, and she has this like great sarcastic.
Oh yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Fife. She
Fife.
Nailed it.
Good job
it.
For Hester.
Here's something I would suggest for the listeners at home, because yeah, some people can't like Molly Chase can't stand actually watching all of Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's what I suggest though: first, Google Batman Forever Laundry.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Sit
Good.
Down, put it on loop.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it as
You're
long as you can.
Watch it more
right.
than once.
When you need a palate cleanser, you're like, "This is too great. I have to stop, or I'll never go to work." Then take a break. Google Batman and Robin highlight reel.
Yeah.
Some hero has put together a spectacular clip run of that movie that is basically just all of Mr. Freeze's horrible puns,
yep.
all of the really dumb jokes, all of the even more gratuitous than this one. Again, this is the transitional Schumacher Batman.
Right.
Batman and Robin has like 35 minutes of just gratuitous rubber nipple, rubber ass, rubber crotch shots every time they put on their costumes. It is bonkers. But if you so you can get all of that in like a 12-minute YouTube compilation
yeah.
and not have to sit down for far longer than we ever wanted to, like we just did tonight for this Batman movie.
Yeah.
Too long.
And then the commissioner, Batman's not coming.
Turn the light on.
Where?
I mean. Guys, we're so good at podcasting. We're so good at podcasting. Final thoughts? Are we at that point? Whoa, what's happening?
Wait. Oh, Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, this was a... Yeah, let's... This was a huge thing, because we all knew this song was in the movie.
Yeah.
But it did not appear at all in the movie, to the point where even first credit song, not Kiss from a Rose.
You too. No.
I actually rudely ordered Dan to fast forward through the credits to make sure Kiss from a Rose was in this movie.
That's correct.
Wait, does that count as my final thought? That was not... I mean... I guess it's gonna.
Sure, you only get one final thought.
All right, Kiss from a Rose is at the end.
But that was also kind of my final thought. Oh. I'll give you my final thought.
Oh, Beth.
So you get another thought.
Oh, sweet! This is so rare. All right.
You don't have to.
No, I always do. Okay, here is my final thought. Is like. It's always interesting for me to watch, like, movies that are, I mean, intellectually I knew before watching this movie again, like, this is going to be a dumb movie for the masses, 1995,
yep.
You know? But it is always interesting to watch a movie as, a adult who thinks about stuff and, like, realize how problematic, like, half of the things going on in, like, a major tentpole movie are, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even realize, I assumed
it's
those...
It's like, you're saying there are two sides of you.
Right.
Oh.
It's like one side...
Is young and innocent.
And
willing to believe.
Beautifully white and smooth skin.
Sugary.
Yeah.
And the other side...
It's like spice. You've got whip
like,
hips.
Like, I got whip hips. I'm telling Vinny Chase how to present himself in Hollywood... And yelling at E and Turtle, and I'm going to hang myself now. I don't know that much about Entourage.
Entourage.
Oh, yeah! Sorry. Final thought.
My final thought is... I feel like I already gave it with the... This movie is not worth watching. I reiterate.
That. Yeah.
Which is... No, okay, here's my final thought.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Final thought redux.
The cast of this movie,
yeah,
it seems like it should be a great movie.
On paper, pretty solid casting.
Val Kilmer,
mm-hmm.
I still think he's a great actor.
Sure.
Yep.
Tombstone,
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey, I think he's very funny.
Yeah, and he's versatile. He's found himself over the last decade or so.
He can do some good serious roles. Tommy Lee Jones, almost always solid.
Oh, yeah. My God. I mean, it's interesting that this is like the one role where he isn't playing like a gruff old man, and maybe that's the problem.
Maybe that's the problem.
Nicole Kidman, that's incredible.
Nikki Kidd's nailing it all the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. I've seen some stinkers.
Yeah.
But
Drew Barrymore.
Sure.
Fine. She's fine.
Debbie May.
Fantastic.
But everybody, it's like their worst performance.
Yes. Maybe. Except for whoever the actor who plays the commissioner is.
And the victim of the near attack.
Yeah. Oh, she was definitely solid.
Yeah, she was solid.
Until she's like, does Batman ever kiss me?
She's not responsible.
That was probably her. That was probably literally like Joel
she
Schumacher
was, like,
realized.
Throwing up,
oh my god,
like,
right?
She was
every
doing.
After every take she needed to go behind a blacklit bucket, flaming bucket.
Yeah.
Puke.
Yeah. It just goes to show the power that the writer and the director have.
Right.
Which is too much.
Well, somebody wrote that movie. We are under the impression someone actually wrote that movie down.
Probably a
terrible boy. It wasn't just Joel Schumacher yelling.
Here's what you say now.
Turn the lights on! Now act! That's how I assumed the directing meant on this movie. He was so into the lights.
Moving props, say something!
Now kiss each other.
More. Use your lips. More lips.
Smash those beautiful lips together. Molly, final thought?
I just so much whispering. So much whispering. Why?
Yeah, but like sexy whispering.
Oh, God. It was terrible. I'm really sad this wasn't any of the other movies.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you definitely were feeling the most pain from, like, frame one.
But the best use of neon green.
Oh, my God, for sure.
Seen in a long time. So.
For sure.
Great color palette.
Great. I mean, just all color palette, really. They could have called this Batman Colors Forever.
Colors Forever. United Colors of Batman.
Neon Forever.
Neon. Oh, my God. And you guys, if you do want to actually sit down and watch all of Batman and Robin. Like, this, again, this was the top grossing movie of 1995, which meant Warner Brothers said to Joel Schumacher, you are incredible, do what it is you do, unfettered access to everything. And if you watch Batman and Robin, his next attempt at Batman, you will see so much neon. Mr. Freeze's suit is literally made of blue lights.
Yeah.
Like, it's just blue lights. There's even blue lights to highlight the blue face paint that Arnold Schwarzenegger is wearing, just in case it wasn't clear, this guy is blue.
Yeah.
No. So much neon.
That movie's amazing.
I think even the Batmobile has even more neon in it than it did in this movie.
And a floppy fin.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the floppy fin. Can we start over?
It's so late.
Can we start over? We have to start over.
All right, new final thought. The Batmobile has a floppy fin.
It's so floppy. It's weird. Like, way taller than it needs to be.
I assume it's like a penis metaphor, right?
I assume the entire movie was a penis metaphor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well done. Well done, Joel Schumacher.
Are we done?
I think we're done.
Cut.
Thank you for listening.
Da 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 da.
He's not coming.
Thank you for listening to Totes Recall. New episodes drop on the 15th of every month. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Totes Recall Pod. Subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. It helps more people find the show. Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan Jaquette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. For more information, check out noisepicnic.com/totesrecall.